Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Mike Rowe here with a radical idea. If you want to see more companies make more things in this country, buy more things from more companies who make things in this country. I refer in this case to the incredible t-shirts, sweatshirts, blue jeans, and more made by my friends at American Giant. Everything American Giant makes is made in the United States. And right now, you can take 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com/Mike. That's American-Giant.com/Mike.
Hey, Tom, you brought a pretty cool new rig to the house yesterday, and I got to say, I got to drive it, and I was pretty blown away by it. I didn't want the thing, but now I want it.
Is it a Segway?
It's not a Segway.
Is it a push scooter?
No, it's not a push scooter. And it's one that we already have, and I thought to myself, you know what? We already have one of these. Why do I want this new version of it? And now I want the new version of it.
Yeah, so I brought home the new Ford Bronco Raptor, and you kind of got a chance to zip it about. And it's funny because last week I was actually in Palm Springs, California, where Ford had set up this really hard rock crawl course and then some super high-speed desert running, and I got to see what it was like out in the dirt as well. So you're going to get our full, clear impressions of this vehicle, talk about the good and the bad of what it's like to drive the new Bronco.
Yeah. So let's get right into it, Tommy, because last week we, of course, did a really interesting podcast talking about solid-state batteries. Which was a good segue into the other thing we're going to talk about. And I know we've talked about this over at Talking Trucks, but we need to talk about it. It's such a huge seismic shift. We also need to talk about the new Lightning because we got to go drag race it, and we got to go drag race it against cars. You see how I did that? How I'm working this into a car topic as opposed to a truck topic?
Yeah, and
so Andre doesn't come and beat me up.
I have another thing we can talk about, which Andre and I just barely touched on, which was we actually recovered our stuck electric car. So I ran an electric car completely out of electricity, kind of like an idiot, and we got stuck on the side of the road, and then we successfully ran a recovery service to get it unstuck.
All right, well, that's what we're talking about in this episode, so let's hit the music, and let's get right into it. All right, Tommy, Raptor Bronco, or is it Bronco Raptor?
Well, it is, whatever you want to call it, the most extreme Bronco they've ever made. So it's the widest, the tallest, probably the most powerful even, and just an absurd amount of off-road gear.
So let's not go into all the details because we did that in last week's podcast. So if you want to listen to our first kind of deep dive into it, click on the last episode, but let's talk about what happened when you brought it home. First of all, the neighbors just freaked out. I mean, just freaked out.
It's kind of a weird thing, though, because
He was ready to put down money on it. He wanted it that bad.
He also goes through cars like every 3 weeks. Half the cars on the that you kind of pass on the road kind of notice it as something special, but the other half just think it's a normal Bronco. So it's kind of hit and miss whether or not people recognize it.
You know, it's got unique gills on the side. It's got a unique headlight signature. It's got unique taillights. It's got unique Raptor stickers all over it. And this eruption green that we have for a week is a pretty incredible color. I think the thing that really makes it obvious that it's a Raptor version of the Bronco are the giant, and I mean giant, fender flares. I mean, those things stick out. How many inches is that?
It's 9.8 inches wider in total and 8.6 inches wider in the track width.
So let me put that in perspective, right? It's as wide as a Raptor.
F-150.
It's as wide as a semi-truck.
Well, it's as wide as you can legally make a vehicle.
8 feet, 6 inches.
Isn't it 8 feet, 7 inches?
Well, I'm sure somebody will correct us in the comments, but I think 8 feet, 6 inches. So it has to have those little lights, right?
The marker lights.
Yeah, that tell you how wide it is. When you get behind the wheel of the thing, first thing you immediately notice is, like, this is the thickest steering wheel I have ever held in my hand. I got to say, it's like the size of a baseball bat. It's that thick.
Yes,
and I'm not talking about the hand part. I'm talking about the part you hit the ball with.
No, that's not that thick.
It's close to that.
That's a little bit of an exaggeration. It's too thick, though.
No, it's not. There's no such thing.
I don't understand why modern cars' steering wheels are so thick. It's getting a little bit much.
And then the other thing you realize is...
Oh, no, I'm not done on my rant.
All right. Go do a Tommy rant.
Why have car steering wheels gotten so thick?
It depends on the brand.
No, across the board, though.
Like FCA does thick steering wheels.
If you're driving a car from the 1970s, it's these nice little
delicate...
Yeah, it's these little delicate steering wheels, and they kind of have those little ribbings in the back, so they're good to hold on to. I was just in a new Ram 3500. Have you ever been in a Ram 3500 with a wood steering wheel?
Yes.
It's ridiculous. I mean, I have these ugly long fingers, and I can barely grasp onto it, let alone a few little...
I said FCA or Stellantis, I should be saying now, is... one of the companies that does put very thick steering
wheels. But why? What's the point? I mean, they're too thick now.
You grab the vehicle by its scruff of its neck, and you feel like you're holding on to, the thing, and you've got a lot of control, whereas the dainty little thin steering wheel, it just feels like very 1950s. It feels very old-fashioned.
I like them. They're comfy.
Remember the Lincoln Continental?
Yeah.
The big thing, when your dad, your grandpa was driving these Continentals and Cadillacs, is you would drive them with one finger, right? So you put a finger on that spoke and you would just turn it. It had power steering. And I think that was a reaction to the fact that cars had just started getting power steering, right? So in the old days, you had to really work the wheel because it was heavy. And then they went to this power steering and you could drive it with your pinky. So they wanted to show how delicate it was and how simple it was to drive. So they went to these little, thin steering wheels. But now, because you're behind the wheel of, in the case of the Lightning, almost 600 horsepower monster, you really want to grab that thing by the scruff and have a good handle on it because you want to be able to control it.
You're a little off on your horsepower there.
It's 585, isn't it?
Oh, I thought you meant on the
Lightning.
I thought you meant on the Brat Bronco.
I said Lightning. That's also got a very thick steering wheel.
Yeah, you're right. No, I just don't understand it. I've got this 71 Bug. It's got this nice little wheel, right? It does what it needs to do. It turns a vehicle. Why do I have to be grasping on for dear life when I'm just driving to school or driving to work?
Well, plus now they're leather, and back then they were plastic.
Bakelite. They're high quality plastic or metal. Some were metal or wood. Yeah, I don't know. I just the whole thick steering wheel thing is kind of going too far.
And then they would spear you in the chest in case when you got in an accident because that.
Well, that was not ideal.
No, that was not ideal.
Yeah, the non-collapsible steering column. We have definitely improved since then.
And also, I suppose it has to do with the fact that now we've got electronic steering.
Well, right? So even less of a point in having some cars,
there's no actual connection between the steering wheel and the front wheels.
So then why does it need to be as thick as I don't know, the baseball bat is a good analogy used, or a stone. Why?
It just feels, it's cool. It's just hip. It's right. It's, I don't know. It just feels like it should be. Anyway.
At some point, it's just going to be a solid chunk of leather that you turn the car with. There's no way to grasp on it. It's just going to be a bunion on the steering column.
So the other thing you immediately notice when you get behind the wheel is that the dashboard's different. Right, they got rid of the traditional plastic speedometer, and now it's all digital.
Which is probably better. Yeah, so it's got full digital gauges, and there's also performance view, which I got you in, and then immediately...
And you couldn't get me out
I
of
got
it.
I got it out of that mode eventually, but that kind of centers the tack and then puts your gear indicator front and center.
And then there's just a lot of,
orange.
Custom... No, yeah, well, seatbelt orange, but you can customize it to your preferences, so... First of all, there's a button on the steering wheel that lets you change the exhaust from is it quiet to normal to Baja to race. There's four different exhaust notes.
I think it's quiet, normal, sport, and Baja.
Yeah, okay, that's it. Yeah. And I got to say, you've had a good description of what it sounds like in Baja.
Well, yeah, it sounds like a mid-2000s Nissan 350Z.
Yeah.
That VQ-style howl that the old Nissan products used to do when you put big exhaust on them. Which is not exactly a great noise.
V6s just don't sound good.
Unless you're an Alfa Romeo GTV6, which that's is definitely
the only Italians can make it sound good.
Yeah.
Ford has literally twisted their exhaust into a pretzel with the Raptor, and it's still, augmented on the interior. We just had the Tundra TRD Pro Hybrid with the TRD exhaust on it,
mm-hmm.
And it also doesn't sound great.
No.
I mean, yeah, it's just...
Yeah, they just don't have a very good... Although this is one of the better-sounding V6s I've heard recently, because when you put it in Baja mode and really get on it, it does sound very unique. It's just not a replacement for an old-school lumpy V8, that's for sure. You're right about that.
We are past the time when exhaust got super loud, right? So I remember when Jaguar first did that kind of... backfire where they fed gas into the chamber so that it backfired on purpose. And when those were on throttle, they were incredibly loud. And then, of course, Stellantis with the Hellcats also got very, very loud. But this, oh, and then the Corvette. I remember the previous generation Corvette, not the current Corvette, not the C8, but the C7 with the Grand Tourer that we had. Remember how loud that was with the baffles open on the exhaust?
I'm not really sure we're past that time, though. I mean,
yeah, you know, European
sound regulations. Yeah. Yeah, but like the 911 GT3s are still some of the loudest cars on the road. The new ones are supposed to be so loud. That GT4 you just drove was incredibly loud.
And the Huracan STO.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
These are race cars, right, for the road. So, yeah, maybe some of the exotics, and maybe when people, like, you know, obviously delete their cats and delete the exhaust on their Subarus or on their, you know, Lamborghini Gallardos or Huracans, they're still loud. But from the factory, the loud exhausts, I think, are going away, except for these very expensive exotics.
And Jaguar's still committed to them. So, like, the new F-Pace SVR.
Except they don't sell Jaguars.
Well, they do. You can go buy one. Yeah, they just don't sell a lot
of
them.
I should say, unfortunately, that's a whole other podcast, why Jaguar isn't selling. But we'll leave that to another day.
F-Pace SVR is supposed to be absolute insanity in its sound, the SUV. So they're out there.
I drove it. It's loud. Yep. But it's not as loud as a Huracan STO.
Well, yeah. Or the that's like saying your fart is not as windy as a hurricane.
Or the Porsche GT4 RS. You want loud car. That's a loud car.
It's like saying your candle is not as bright as a forest fire.
So let's keep going. So you can customize the exhaust, and then you can also customize the steering, right?
Yep. So you got normal sport and comfort modes on the steering.
And to me, that is a little bit basically just makes the steering heavier. It doesn't give you more feel.
No, you're right. Exactly.
Because you're rolling on 37s. Let's face it. If you want feel, 37 off-road tires are not exactly ideal for carving canyons. They're probably ideal for running Baja, but you don't want, you know, what you want on the Baja is not steering feel, I don't think. And I've never raced the Baja. I'm thinking you want good suspension, which it has, right? It has active shocks that can actually keep you from bottoming out when it's in the air. It knows that.
Oh, yeah. These are really smart. Same suspension idea as the F-150 Raptor. Now, I want to talk about really briefly.
Yeah.
On the press drive of this vehicle, they put us off-road, and like a lot of manufacturers do that, and usually it's like, oh, look, there's a little stone or a pebble or a log. But actually, we did a rock crawl course in this thing.
Yeah, how
that
was
easily 8, 9 out of 10. It was a very famous
you were in Johnson's Valley, right?
Well, it was actually one of the very famous King of the Hammers crawl sections. It was called, like, something, I forget the name, I gotta look
at
the video. No, yeah, it's something silly like that. But it was like an 8 or 9 out of 10 difficulty.
Butt clincher?
No, it was something, it's called Her Problem.
Oh.
That's what it was called. Her Problem. I remember it now.
Man card. I'm coming with good names for hard obstacles.
So there were like these 2-3 foot boulders that we were going over, and we went over this waterfall, and it was like spotters every 2 feet because it was that hard. But what they had to do to make it work is they had to remove the whole front end basically. So it's got these removable end caps and fog lights and aero bits, and they stripped them off, and it looks kind of goofy in that mode. But what it means is that you can get that front end up super steep obstacles. And even with that independent front suspension, which all the Jeep people like to nag on it for, disconnect that sway bar, lock the diffs, and it's just crawls over everything. It's amazing.
So, you know, this is a true rock crawler. So front and rear lockers, center locker, all disconnectable sway bar, except that it's independent versus solid axle.
But that's kind of unusual, right? Because the Raptor's always been known for let's go blast across the desert, not let's go crawl up this cliff. And we were crawling up the cliff in the morning and then blasting across the desert in the afternoon. One thing that's not very good about it from a rock crawl standpoint is you put it in low range. And this is a different gearing setup than other Broncos. I think it's got 470 gears in it in the axles. You put it in low range, first gear is nice and slow, right? But if you're in automatic mode and you go just a little bit too fast for first gear in low range, it goes into second and it just goes bam. I mean, it slams you in the back when you go from first to second. So you really, when you're in low range doing rock crawling, you want to put it in the manual setting because that first to second shift was violent. Second to third, third to fourth is okay. But yeah, I mean, it really, really amazed me off-road in the rock crawl section. But there's a problem.
What's that?
Because we were at Johnson Valley, King of the Hammers.
Yeah.
Amazing boulders, crazy terrain, lots of space. You get this thing out to a Colorado trail.
Where we have trees.
Where you're like trying to thread the needle between
lots of trees.
Holy bejesus, that thing would be an absolute stressor trying to get that thing to some of our Colorado trails. It's just so wide.
You know, none of that matters because the reaction.
Because you're never going to go off-road.
Yeah, the reaction from neighbors was like they were mouth open jaw dropping, like, I want this right now, because it just, it screams like ultimate cool toy, right? This is what people want these things for often, right? It's about having something that's fun and that shows off their off-road lifestyle credibility. And I don't know if there's anything outside of a Jeep 392 that does it as much. And speaking of the 392, how does it compare?
Well,
exhaust note is better on the Jeep. That's a V8.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. And the Jeep, I think, is quicker. It's got more horsepower. So this is 410.
Yeah, it's not that quick.
It's not that quick. So. I think the Jeep is 470.
But rolling on 37s, you're not going to be that quick.
No, you're not going to be that quick. But what Ford did really well, and this is a really big missed opportunity for Jeep, is Jeep went through all the effort to put that powertrain in the vehicle.
Yeah, it's got a Hemi 480 horsepower, 480.
It's like 470.
Maybe 470, yeah. So I might be off by
10. They went through all this effort to slam a 6.4 liter into this narrow off-road vehicle.
Yep.
But then they didn't touch the design practically at all, right? They gave it some kind of gold tow hooks. But the, I mean, it looks like a normal Jeep.
Yeah, this looks, this especially with those shark gills on the front.
And if you're spending $70,000 to $80,000 for
which is what this costs,
ultimate off-roader, you want it to look special. So if we had pulled that Wrangler 392 into our driveway, our neighbor wouldn't have noticed. Yeah. But we pulled this in with those crazy flares and the gills on the side. Our neighbor's like, what in the hell is that, right? And that is what I think someone buying a Raptor really does care about. They want it to look the part. And that is the biggest missed opportunity with the 392.
So, you know, we Ford is just like on a roll right now, right? They're just, you know, like bashing them out of the park one after another. First, the Maverick, you know, with 40 MPG compact pickup truck, you know. And then before that, actually, second was the Maverick, came the first Bronco, right? Once again, crazy off the hook. The Raptor has been a huge, huge success. And now, of course, we got the new Raptor R coming with the mighty V8. So tell me about that, because you got a sneak peek when you were in Johnson's Valley.
Well, basically, we got done with all of our off-roading for the day, and then we were in this like dry lake bed, and they said, we have something to show you. And then they zipped past us. They did two donuts at a distance in the F-150 Raptor R, and the only things they could tell us was F-150 Raptor R, V8, coming later this year. That was all they told us.
They did a donut, right?
And we tried to pry the information out of them, and they just were like, nope, that's all we're saying right now. But yeah, they did the donut, and you could hear the V8 sound, which was amazing. But you could also hear like a supercharger whine. And I think the rumors are correct based on what I heard. I probably does have a version of like the 5.2 liter supercharged V8, which would be just insane in that vehicle.
So I'm going to take a little bit of a break right now and do a little commercial from our sponsor, which is TFL. We're trying to...
Wait, we're sponsoring ourselves now?
Yeah, we're trying to get, first of all, our new TFL Bids website up and running. So we're selling a lot of our vehicles. So this week we've got the Golf R, 2013 Golf R, that has like 70,000 miles on it. Tommy says 80,000.
Something like
anyway,
that.
Anyway, it's up there. Take a look at it. We bought it. We use it for a bunch of drag races, and we're kind of done with it. So if you want a one owner, well, we bought it from the original owner, now a two owner because we've had it for Golf R. It's up on TFL Bids. Check it out. And then, of course, we keep getting, like, you guys are great. You keep sending us stories that are breaking. And the problem is, of course, this is our business. We take a lot of pride in being up on the latest news. And so, like, this week somebody sent us a story of the new potentially all-wheel drive Maverick, I think it is, right?
Right.
And I replied, just go to alltfl.com, where we have, you know, all of our podcasts, all of our Instagram posts, everything. And it's there. The story's there. So before you send us breaking news tips, just check out alltfl.com, because chances are we're on top of it, and hopefully we are covering it from a unique perspective. Anyway, that's the sponsor bit.
And now for another word from our sponsors.
Okay, you got another one.
If you guys have truck or SUV or car questions you want to ask us, you can send us an email, info@tflcar, right?
Or ask a TFL truck.
Yep. Or if you really want to make sure that your questions are answered, Andre has done something really cool over at our Patreon, which is patreon.com/tflcar. You're welcome to send us a direct message, and then you'll definitely get your question answered on the podcast. So we really appreciate all of our Patreon members, because that's the only reason we can make this happen. Now back to the Bronco real quick.
Yeah, here's an idea I had when I saw our neighbors go crazy over this thing, right?
Yeah.
I think they're going to cannibalize sales from the Raptor. I think if you have a Raptor and you love the Raptor, but you're sick of having a pickup truck, which is long and hard to park, this is as cool. It's, you know, as off-road worthy.
Yeah, but you're never going to be able to buy one. Well, that's the issue.
Yeah, I was going to say that, but Tommy, you know, this week the stock market went below 30,000 for the first time. You know, we're seeing what might be the beginning of a recession.
Yeah, but and you have been saying that for the last six months.
No, but in America, when that pendulum swings, so
I know.
Let's wait. Before you say you won't be able to buy one, wait till like September. Like, give it 3 months and see if, you know, an $80,000 Bronco is going to be more unobtainium or less with, you know, less money. All those crypto people who made, you know, millions or hundreds of thousands on crypto have lost all that money, unfortunately for them. And so maybe there's less money out there for things like Bronco Raptors and more money for things like rent. I don't know.
Well, we'll have to wait and see. But I think there's still going to be enough money out there, even if we are in a recession, for that to be a super
It's so cool.
Demand vehicle. Now, they actually did take us on a desert running course, too, in the afternoon.
Yeah.
Where we got to chance to drive a race course.
Did you have to wear a Haas device?
Yeah, all of it.
Hans device. Is it Haas or Hans?
No, not Haas.
Well, I don't wear him a lot.
So we wear Haas,
Mr. Haas.
Yeah, Hans.
So why is it called a Hans device?
Probably the
was
guy.
Was it Hans? Was his first name Hans?
I don't know the full story. I shouldn't be making fun of you. I don't know why it's called a Hans device. But yeah, Hans device. I think it's Hans. No, you got to be freaked out. Anyway, someone will let us know.
Was it like a German dude? His name was, hey, Hans, did you keep you safe when driving very quick race cars and not break your neck? Well, I've created this device. Like that?
So we put on the helmet and the Hans device, and we ripped through the desert. And we were doing some of these the roads, which, and I don't do a lot of high-speed desert running because we're in Colorado and it just doesn't really exist here. But we were doing stuff that in my Wrangler, I'd probably be able to do like 20 miles an hour over, and we were hitting it at 50, 55, and that was probably being conservative to not break the vehicle.
So
but
did
it was
you jump it?
Incredible. Yeah, we jumped it too.
How far off the ground you get?
I have no idea.
Did you think it would be more than an inch?
Probably know. More than an inch, less than 10 feet.
How did it feel when it came down?
Great. It was amazing. So those active shocks, they stiffen up so that you don't slam into the jounce bumpers too hard. But yeah, I was so amazed with how quick you could just tackle some of this terrain. I mean, and you would hit bumps and you'd like clench your butt because you thought it would just be like, oh man, this is the end of it. And it would just go bloop, take it all.
So if you guys are out there listening to this podcast on Monday, which is when this airs, and you have a 392, we'd love to get one here at the office. We've got the Bronco Raptor until the end of the week, so we'd love to drag race it. I think that'd be a really cool video. So if you're in Colorado or can come to Boulder, shoot us an email at
ask@tfltruck.com
or info@tflcar. Either one of those will get to all of us. And if you have a 392, let us know. And if you can bring it, and if you want to drag race it, we'd love to compare the two, do a head-up video. Not doing anything serious, just, you know, park them next to each other and kind of compare and contrast them, or take them to the drag strip and see which one is quicker. I think that'd be a lot of fun. So yeah, love to get you guys on the channel and make you a star along with your Jeep. All right, Tommy, shall we switch gears?
Okay.
So you had a little bit of fun with the Mini SC. Tell me what you did.
Well, we wanted to see if the F-150 Lightning, the all-electric truck, could rescue a stranded electric car. So imagine you're driving your Tesla or whatever.
Tow it, you mean?
No. Like actually charge it because it's got the 11 kilowatts of onboard power, the 10 point something kilowatts of onboard power.
Okay.
So my idea was to do a range test on the Mini from 100 to 0 and then end back up at the office at 0 and then, you know, plug it in.
Because, yeah, you know Farley, the CEO of Ford, trolled Tesla with that.
Well, yeah, because they're selling F-150 Lightnings with this adapter so you can charge a Tesla using the Ford charge connector, which is kind of fun. Except ours didn't come with it.
Yeah, ours. Hey, Ford, where is ours? I thought we were going to get that little,
yeah, what the heck?
Little dongle.
So we don't have the dongle. Anyway, so I was like, all right, I'll drive the little Mini till it runs out of electricity, and that'll be at the office so that we're nice and safe and we can plug it in. That was the plan. It did not go to plan, though, because you wanted me to run our new MPG gauntlet, which is from here to Fort Morgan in Colorado.
Yeah.
Nice, consistent test, very repeatable. And Andre said, oh, yeah, it's just slightly uphill on the way back from Fort Morgan. Turns out it's a lot more than slightly uphill on the way back from Fort Morgan. So he turned around at 51%, which gave me a 2% buffer. And then button along, and I'm looking at the consumption. I'm like, ooh, it's seems like we're using a lot of electricity on the way home. And then sure enough, I get within like 10 miles of the office. We're down to like 5%. I'm like, oh, this is not going to make it. Because it's got 114 miles of range, the Mini. So I'm like, what am I going to do? So I turn off the highway into some back roads, which is more direct too. I wanted to cut down on the distance, slow the speeds way down, putting along 4%, 3%, 2%, 1%. And we got this huge hill. So then we drive up this big hill with like 2%, make it to the top with zero, and then start coasting down the hill. It's still running, by the way. Still have all the access to the power. Turn left onto this little back road back to the office. And we were at 0% for like 3 miles.
So even if it says 0%, you still can
go. Yeah, you still got some life in the pack.
Okay.
And then it's got this power meter, which tells you how much access to acceleration you have. And it was full. And then it was like 50% and then 30%. And we were within like 3 or 4 miles of the office. And I'm like, oh, we might make it. We might make it. We're still at 30% available power. And then it just goes blue, 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 blue.
And that was it.
That was it.
And then, unfortunately, it went blue, 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 blue in front of this guy's farm who has peacocks. And the unfortunate part was because Tommy called. There's two unfortunate things. So he calls me and he says, hey, can you come rescue me with the lightning? I'm like, no problem. I'll be right there. And I'm like, do you have the dongle?
Well, yes. That? I forgot that the this is – so there's a 240-volt outlet on the Lightning,
right.
7.2 kilowatts, which is exactly what we need. But the plug is not a standard NEMA 1450 like a wall plug. It's this twist-in generator style. And you can buy the adapter. I just completely forgot, because I'm stupid, that we needed the adapter.
So why didn't Ford just give it the right plug? Why did they make it so convoluted and
complicated? I don't know why they went with like the generator. Like Honda, Generac, they all use that style.
Yeah, why not just go with the – if you're going to be – so if you want to actually charge a Tesla, not only do you need an adapter – for the plug that goes into the Lightning, but you need an adapter for the plug that goes into the Tesla.
Yeah, you need double adapters.
You need double dongles.
I think, honestly, that it probably makes sense, like that little twist-in style. They make adapters for RVs using that style that go to everything. So they figured, let's go to a generic one, and then someone can adapt to what they need.
So I get there, and now Tommy, we push. Actually, the car had a little bit of power, so we drive it to this farmhouse.
Well, it was completely out. I turn it on and off again, and it gives you like a little emergency.
Yeah, like if you need to pull up on a
tow truck.
Yeah, so you back it up to this guy's farmhouse because we don't want to be on the main road, which is dangerous. I'm like, hey, where's the dongle? And you're like, you forgot it. And then the damn peacock goes off like an alarm clock. I do not understand the use or utility of peacocks outside of a zoo, but they are loud critters, man. Those are some loud, loud birds.
So because
go ahead.
Because we didn't have the dongle, Andre did have the dongle, but he was in Denver.
Well, let me finish the story.
Yep.
Because people might be wondering, why do I care that this peacock is like, when you're doing video production and every time you say a word, the peacock goes off.
Right? It added more character to the video.
And then, of course, the garbage truck shows up.
Yeah, you were not having a good day with the filming thing.
No, because we had just broken the windshield on the Lightning. So we had the world's biggest crack, on a new truck, which we obviously can't have for video production. So I was already bummed out about that. And now I've got the peacock doing its thing, the garbage truck like slamming garbage cans into it, and I'm trying to do like this, interesting moment in this video where we're seeing if we can actually charge the Mini with the SE. So what did we end up doing? We did charge it, but
what we did is we just used the standard wall outlet that the truck comes with.
Which is slow.
Well, we'd have to be there for like hours to get 5% to get to the office.
So the Mini has, what, a 30 kilowatt hour battery?
Yeah. So,
and it said it would have taken until like 6 o'clock the next day.
Oh, right. It was not happening. So we really got to recover off of 240 volts, but we had to go drag racing. So Andre showed up in his Power Boost, which is the hybrid F-150, which has the same 7.2 kilowatt 240 volt inverter. So we leave, Andre plugs in the Mini, and he only needs to charge it instead of hours for like 17 minutes. That got 4 or 5% into the Mini battery, and then they were able to limp it to the office. And once again, they show up to the office with zero. Like it's done.
Yeah.
So it's completely out of power when they get back to the office. But 17 minutes of charging, they got the 4 or 5 miles to get here. And then what we did is the next day we left it completely empty overnight, which you really shouldn't do with an electric car, but it was okay. Left it completely empty, and then we brought the Lightning in fully charged the next day. And we wanted to see if we could completely charge the Mini using nothing but the electricity in the Lightning battery pack. And we did.
And those videos are coming to alltfl.com.
Yep.
Or TFLEV.
Yeah, they're on TFLEV if you want to see part one and part two of the charging debacle.
Or they're there already. I don't know, because this airs on Monday and we're recording.
Oh,
yeah,
they will hopefully be uploaded.
If we can get them edited.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, it's a little confusing because of the time lag. So you said something interesting, which we should also talk about. So we had to go drag racing. Where do we go drag racing and what do we drag race?
Well, you wanted to take the Lightning to one of those run what you...
That was your idea.
Yeah, it was my idea. But I'll give you credit because you made it happen. But we wanted to take the Lightning to the Run What You Brung night at our local drag strip.
Bandamere.
Yeah, which is actually a national NHRA. It's a big deal. But the idea is you show up on a Wednesday night and you can run anything for as many times as you want, and it's just a fun thing to do.
Call it Test and Tune?
Yeah. You know why it was not busy Wednesday night?
Why?
I figured it out.
There were like maybe 50 cars there.
Stanley Cup.
Oh.
The Avalanche.
Oh, that's right.
That's why everybody was gone, because usually it's
hundreds of cars.
Hundreds of cars. This time it was like 50 or 60.
It was nice, because you got to do a lot of runs.
Well, it was nice, but I really wanted to race like Mustangs and Camaros, and like... The night has been infiltrated by Teslas.
Yeah, so we line up and there's literally like we're the only ones there, and there's maybe eight cars there.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, I look and there's a Model X, a Model S Plaid, a Model Y, a Model 3 Performance, a Jaguar, and a TRX.
Yeah, that was it. And then throughout the night, more cars showed up. I think there was probably 100 or so that showed up.
But yeah, because electric cars are so darn quick. I think people in electric cars just show up at these things and embarrass everybody else.
It's pretty cool, though, because basically you line up in two lanes and then you go bloop, and whoever's next to you, you race. So sometimes you could be racing a guy in a diesel truck. You could be racing a guy in a motorcycle. You could be racing a gal in a Tesla. You could be racing whoever at any time.
A gal in a CTSV.
Yeah.
I was racing. So you lined up the first time against the Model 3 Performance. Why don't you spill the beans and tell them what happened?
Well, the Lightning ran 12.8 in the quarter.
Yeah.
The Model 3 ran 11.6. So it was about a second faster than the Tesla.
But that's still amazing, Tommy. You've got a full-size pickup truck that weighs almost 7,000 pounds, right? That's actually, you know, nose to nose for the most part with a Model 3 Performance. And that was a performance. He had the red brake caliper. So I think a regular Model 3, you'd probably would have taken.
And to put it in perspective, there was a guy who was a really experienced drag racer. He just bought a TRX from Brighton Ford, actually.
Oh, nice.
He test drove ours before he bought it.
Oh, did you talk to him?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a 2021. And he actually traded an M5. For his TRX.
He traded an M5 on a TRX.
Yep.
Holy
and
cow.
I was talking to him, and he was running like 13s in the TRX throughout the night. Keep in mind, we're a mile above sea level. It's a big, heavy truck. But 700 horsepower. He's running 13s consistently. The Lightning, everyone was like 12.8, 12.9, 12.8, 12.81, 12.9. I mean, it was like we did eight runs throughout the night. And the time discrepancy over eight runs was like 12.802 up to 12.91 was, I think, the slowest, or 12.92. I mean, it was like 0.1 or 0.2 of a second between every single run.
So you embarrassed a Mustang GT, a previous gen. I think it was a GT. I don't know. I was filming.
No, that was two gens old, and that turned out to be a V6. So that was not much of an
accomplishment. Yeah, he ran a 17, so.
Yeah, he was not killing it.
But I beat a 700 horsepower tuned CTSV.
That was pretty cool. Yeah, because of course, with the gas car, especially rear-wheel drive one, you have to really be good to launch the car and get the launch right. The Ford is just like, you just put your foot down and then bloop, you hit cross the line.
And it's weird because like part of me loves racing electric cars because drag racing, because they're so quick and they're so easy. But part of me is kind of also doesn't love it because they're so quick and so easy, right? There's really no skill. You're like a computer, right? It's going to get the same time, and as long as you get that start right, everything else doesn't matter. There's no shifting. There's no messing with the throttle versus the clutch, right? If you have a manual car, there's no you don't even, especially with these all-wheel drive cars, you don't do a burnout, right? All the cool stuff. Remember we went on the Demon launch and that had that special drag race brake, right? Is it a trans brake,
mm-hmm.
right? Which takes a lot of skill. So, skill is hard, but it also makes it fun when you master it. Whereas with electric cars, there's not a lot of mastery of anything. And they're also kind of untunable in some ways, right? It's like you can't put a supercharger on them and make them quicker or put, methanol, right? Ethanol. And make it quicker. So it kind of is what it is.
Yeah. Now, the interesting thing is the Lightning is not designed to be a drag race truck. Like the TRX is designed to be a performance truck. This is designed to be an all-electric F-150. But even still, it was so cool that you could run such a quick time consistently over and over and over. And we didn't use that much charge. I think we showed up with 50-something, and we left with 40-something over 8 runs in the course of an hour or so. So it really didn't use a lot of battery. And I was super impressed with it, how consistent it was. And the fun thing about drag racing, too, on these one what you brung nights, is your end time at the end of the drag strip is completely separate from your reaction time. Did you know that?
Yeah, I know.
So your reaction time, it does not play at all into your trap speed.
But the winner is whoever crosses the...
Sure,
so
yeah.
So you can have a faster trap speed.
Right.
And you can have a faster trap time, but if you cross the finish line later, you lose.
Well, unless you're betting money, like...
No, you lose the race.
Sure.
So let's say that you had bad reaction. I don't think you had bad reaction time. I think somebody actually made this point in the comments. Like you take off when the little Christmas tree turns orange. You don't wait for it to turn green.
Look, I drive a 70s Volkswagen and a classic Mini. I'm not exactly out drag racing very often.
There's like a half a foot of rollout, right? So when you floor it and you floor it at the orange light, you hopefully cross that laser beam when it turns green, and then you've got an incredibly quick reaction time. So I raced a girl in the 7 horsepower CTSV, and her reaction time was like 0.79.
Sure.
Like almost a second, and mine was like 0.28. And so while she had a quicker quarter mile time, I crossed the finish line first because of my reaction time. And right. That was just because I knew the secret. It wasn't,
She had a really bad start, though. She got a lot of wheel spin.
Well, yeah, that's another thing with the truck. It's all-wheel drive.
Yeah, you just go, whoop.
Yeah, and it's funny. Let's talk about that. For some reason, and this you know, every new vehicle has some kind of bugaboo that everybody like gravitates to and starts making a big deal out of. You know what I'm talking about?
Sure.
No, you don't. You don't know what I'm talking about.
Sure.
Like, what am I talking about?
Like the Bronco Raptor doesn't have a V8, and everybody freaks out about that.
No, that's close, but there's something that is part of the vehicle that creates controversy. And maybe we could talk. I could probably come off just off the top of my head. I could probably come up with like 3 or 4 of those. So let me give you the best example, and this is in the truck world. The Tundra. What's the controversy? There's one big controversy that everybody
no tow hooks.
Exactly. Yeah. And so the big controversy on the Lightning is that for some reason Ford decided to go 50-50 split, right? Everybody's like, well, why didn't they give it a smaller motor in the front? Because the motors are identical. And so when you floor it, you actually chirp your front wheels as if it were front-wheel drive, even though you've got all-wheel drive. And that's because you're sending the identical amount of power to the front and the rear, and you've got two identical motors in terms of how much power and torque they put out. Like in a Tesla, there's always a bigger motor in the back versus a smaller motor in the front. And people are saying that that's odd. I don't know if that's odd. It's a decision that Ford made. What do you think?
It works. So I don't think it's odd. I mean,
it's one of those, you know, tempest in a teapot that people will make a lot of.
I haven't heard that very often. The one thing I hear
that a lot.
The one thing I hear all the time is towing range with the Lightning. That's the thing everyone's all freaked out
about. That's just all electric vehicles. That's not specific to. See, that doesn't work because all electric vehicles and actually all gas vehicles.
I have not seen a single post complaining about the front and rear motor bias.
Oh, I have
seen
a lot.
Lightning.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of discussion.
Because
go on the Lightning forum.
Isn't the Rivian the same? The Rivian has 4 identical motors, so you'd have the same power.
Yeah,
in the front
but they change the power output.
And the Ford actually, it's not true. Ford changes the power output on the Lightning too, because when you're cruising, Andre pointed this out.
It's front wheel drive.
Front wheel drive.
But when you floor it, right? Many of the manufacturers. This is another big bugaboo.
Are
right?
we 100% sure they give exactly the same power?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, it's 50-50. It shows you on the
I bet it's
display.
One of those things where if you talk to the engineer, be like, that's a common misconception. We actually provide less
Audi
voltage.
Just had that whole. It was the big thing with Audi where there was a controversy about where it sends its power, and Audi said it's 50-50, but it wasn't.
Look, it doesn't matter. You floor it, you get a little chirp out of the front end, and you take off. I mean, it's not like a big deal. And actually, I'd rather have more power in an unladen truck in the front end anyways, because if you put all the power to the back in a pickup truck, you got no weight in the back. That's not true, though, because the Lightning, we weighed on the cat scale, and it was perfect 50-50 weight distribution.
Which is pretty cool.
So it's
got to
be one of the
truck.
Only pickups where we have a perfect 50-50 weight distribution.
All right, let me give you another example of this one. These little like bugaboos that people either don't know about or they find out about. Model X. What did we figure out about the Model X, and why is it breaking U-joints?
Well, the Model X is this, the CV angles are too steep in normal ride height, and they'll start to wear out faster.
So you have to put it in, like, if you floor it hard because it's sending so much torque to the wheels, you have to lower it so that the CV angle is straight as opposed to bent, because otherwise you're putting too much torque through it.
Hang on, I got to make sure this camera's still rolling.
Okay, I'll keep talking while you're exploring the camera.
Yep, it's still rolling.
Okay, all right, should we do some other cars like that? Can you think of other cars where there's always like a little bugaboo? I'm calling it a bugaboo.
He has a very 1930s word.
don't critique my vocabulary. come up with another car. So I'll give you another one. All right. I'll give you the car, okay, and you tell me the bugaboo.
Okay.
Golf R.
Infotainment.
No, one more.
That is the biggest problem with the Golf R.
One more.
Infotainment.
Golf R ID4. Same problem.
Infotainment.
No.
What is the problem?
Come on. There's one. Volkswagen made one decision, which is weird, which people can't stand.
What is it?
The window switches.
That is not a Golf R. The Golf R is normal window switches.
Okay, so ID4.
Yeah, you can't.
So I said ID4.
You said Golf R first, though.
Okay, ID4.
Yeah, it's got only front window switches.
Right,
yeah.
So you have to toggle between the front and the back.
Right.
Why would you do that?
Just to be weird.
And there's
unique.
Another one in the
Save
ID,
money.
There's another one in the ID4.
The no front trunk.
Exactly, yeah. No front trunk.
But that's like that's a lot of EVs, though, too. Like the Mini has no front trunk.
All right, let's keep going. Okay, well, now we're in the EVs, right? Mercedes-Benz EQS. And you did a whole video on this.
Open the hood.
Exactly. The video is very popular. Why can't you open the hood?
They just don't want you looking underneath there. It's a dealer thing. IX is like that. BMW X is like that, too.
You can't open the hood, yeah.
Yep. Yep, for sure. Well, so what do you got going on this week? Do you have anything fun going on?
You know, like this, I think our listeners are enjoying this, trying to figure out what the bugaboos are on these cars because they're, you know, they're enthusiasts.
Okay.
Any more you can think of?
Not really.
All right, let's think of some of the cars that we drove. All right, here's another one. I'm trying to think, EV6. Is there one on the EV6?
No, there's one on the Mach-E. The Mach-E has a pretty...
don't tell me. All right,
Mach-E.
Okay, Mach-E. All right. Thinking hard about the Mach-E. Door handles?
No.
Okay, not the door handles.
It's the charging curve.
Oh, what's wrong with the charging
curve? It's got this weird step charging curve where it almost dies at 80%.
So it's got a very slow charging curve. It holds a lot of power, and then at the end of it, it just falls off a cliff. Is that what you're saying?
Yep, basically right.
All right.
It's actually based on time. It's based on when you plug it in. So it'll hold a certain amount for a certain time period, and then it'll step down in these weird increments. And then when you hit 80, it goes down really, really quickly.
Well, what are some other cars, new cars that you've recently driven that you just went on a program for?
The Bronco had one.
Oh, the Bronco. Okay, let me. The Bronco Raptor?
No, just a normal Bronco.
A normal Bronco has a bugaboo.
Yeah.
Give me a hint.
The hardtop.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. The little squeaking.
The squeak and the delamination.
Actually, there's a worse one in the soft top.
Which, yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
The rear quarter windows are wavy.
Yeah, so you can. We have partnered on some of our videos with Best Top, and they do a soft top for it. And if you can always tell the difference between the Best Top one, the rear window is dead flat like you would expect, whereas the factory window is wavy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always a giveaway. So every time now I see a Bronco with a soft top, I can't unsee that wavy rear window.
That's true.
Yeah. So what else have we gone on? What other cars? I'm trying to think of what the new introductions that we've done.
Yeah, I don't know.
What did I go on? I'm completely... Mini. We just did the Mini trip.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think...
But there wasn't any new cars. No. They were all the usual cars.
Oh, yeah, the M3 has one, of course.
Oh, give me a hint. Oh, the seats.
No.
The carbon fiber seats.
Well, that's another one, but what's the big one?
M3.
What is
the big grill? The big beaver teeth grill?
Yeah,
well, that's a big country.
That's what everybody gets stuck on.
Yeah, I know. That's, God, it's probably so many forms have been filled up.
So what trips are you going on this week?
So, coming up, I'm going to go to Salt Lake City and drive the new Cadillac EV, the Lyriq. Tommy, and I'm super excited because, GM has kind of been in a weird position with electric vehicles, right? They came out with the Hummer EV,
mm-hmm.
which sold out, and they did really well. But then I think it's fair to say that the Bolt has been a bit of a train wreck in terms of sales because, obviously, they had a recall on it. And similar recall actually this week with the Mach-E, except they're saying that the Mach-E can also catch fire or potentially cause overheating problems. But they said they can fix that with an over-the-air update. Mm. With the Bolt, you had to get an entire battery replacement, which set them back. But then they did something smart, and they dropped the price by $6,000, which
good.
Is a huge amount.
Yeah, that was good. And then the Lyriq is a new Cadillac electric car.
Yeah, that's what I'm going on to Salt Lake City to drive.
And we also learned a little bit about the Blazer EVSS, right? The new electric Blazer. And then we've also heard talk about the Cadillac Celestiq, which is pretty cool. So that's going
to
be...
Why do they have to make these like weird names? Lyriq, Celestiq. If I were them, I would just go back to the... You know, I mean, Cadillac has such a deep...
They do have good names.
Deep stable of cool names, right, that harken back to, like, its glory days. And they're using Lyriq and Celestiq. It sounds like... You know what Celestiq sounds like? It sounds like, you know, a type of herbal tea that Celestial Seasons would make, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's
true. New Celestiq. If you think that... what's the slumber one called? The one that's really popular.
I don't drink tea.
Sleepy Time.
Oh.
Yes, you do drink tea.
Not hot tea.
If you think that Sleepy Time isn't good enough, try Celestiq.
I will take Celestiq over ATS and CTS and DTS. And
But I'll take Eldorado. I'll take Eldorado over all of those.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, for sure.
Or Coupe de Ville.
Yeah, so are you excited to drive the Lyriq?
Yeah, how about you? What are you going to drive?
I'm going to go drive another Bronco version, actually. So this one's going to be called the Everglades, which is kind of their adventure-y one with the snorkel. And I think I'm going to be doing some mudding because we're going to northern Michigan.
Have you ever been up there in like Traverse City? Is it Traverse City?
Yeah. No, I've never been to Traverse City. That's where I'm flying into. So I'm really excited to go see what the off-roading's like in Michigan.
Well, you've been doing some mudding at our new pond off-road course.
Plenty of mudding over there. Yeah, and that's the other thing I'm doing today. I'm doing Bronco Raptor versus Bronco Sasquatch. So should you go for the 37 inches on the Raptor and the craziness, or is the 35s good enough for you?
So that video is coming. And don't we have somebody coming to the ranch to test out their vehicle?
I have no idea. Is that true? I think there's a guy coming with an Xterra, maybe.
No, you told me. You said there's somebody coming with a Baja Bug.
That's
your video.
That's not to test out the vehicle, though. That would die immediately. No, that's a classics video. But just Brendan, we're going to do a classics video on this really cool 70s Volkswagen Baja that he's doing. So we'll have that up coming soon.
Well, there you have it, guys. What's coming up on your sneak peek at what's coming up on TFL Studios in the next 7 days in terms of videos. The one I'm super excited about, and that may be already published, is we did a drag race, and we wanted to be the first to drag race the Lightning versus the TRX versus the Rivian.
That'll be really cool.
Versus the basically the hybrid.
Power Boost.
Power Boost, yeah. So that video is also up there, I think, by now. And the results of that were certainly interesting. The most interesting was, you know, TRX versus Lightning.
Yeah, really cool stuff.
I'm not going to give it away, so you got to watch it.
Yeah, so be sure to kind of check out TFL Truck if you want to see all that.
All right, so as I wrap this up, you own a Jeep. How much lust do you have for the new Bronco Raptor?
Well,
I have a lot of lust for it.
I don't have. I mean,
somebody offered us one, sorry, and I turned it down. I kind of feel like I shouldn't have now, but it's a lot of money.
Yeah, I don't have, I mean, the issue is we already have the Bronco Sasquatch.
Yeah.
And this is a very impressive vehicle, but I'm kind of just too rational about it. For its use case, which is high-speed desert running, if I lived in Johnson Valley, I'd be all over it. But
people don't use it for that.
But that's how I think. And I know that this would be pretty miserable on a lot of Colorado trails because it's just too wide. So for that reason, I don't have a huge amount of lust for it, but if you do have a chance to go drive it fast, at speed in the dirt, it's hard to get any better.
Yeah, but when you're driving it around on the streets, it kind of defines badass. The downside for me, especially now, is, and one of the reasons, you know, as much as I hated to see the TRX go, is fuel economy, right?
No, it's not a problem.
This is not a problem?
No.
Fuel economy? What's the combined MPG?
It's like 15, but it's not a problem.
What do you mean?
It's not a problem.
It's a problem.
This is an $80,000 vehicle.
Yeah.
It's going to be $150,000 with markups. If you can afford $150,000 for a Bronco, you're not going to be worried about 15 MPG.
I would.
That's a weird thing.
Here's something weird, okay? Let's say that I won the lottery.
Yep.
Fair enough. $500 million.
Yep.
And I could afford to pay $150,000 for that, right?
Yep.
Every time I would fill it up, I would still feel bad, even though I knew I had, whatever, $300 million in the bank after I took the one-time payout. It doesn't work that way. I would just feel, you know, there's just something when when you're like born without a lot of money, you just feel bad spending money.
Well, so you
even
probably
even if I had that money, I would feel bad spending.
So you probably wouldn't buy a Bronco Raptor in the first place then. Because if you can justify spending $150,000 on a Bronco,
I told you that. That's why I felt bad about driving the TRX. The fuel economy was just every time you went to fill it up, you just felt like ugh.
Huh. All right. Well, let us know what you think in the comments below.
And maybe that's why you feel better about the Lightning, because you plug it in at home at night, right? And you're getting 13 cents, I think, kilowatt hour, right?
Yeah, but you sort of spent $80,000 on a truck. If you want to save money on gas.
Oh, no, it's not logical.
It's not logical.
These things are not logical. Money is not logical. I was listening to NPR, and Shankar, whatever his name is, does a thing called the hidden brain. And he's been doing these things about how we think about money. And the way we think about money is not logical. It has nothing to do with logic. It has a lot to do with kind of our reptilian brain, unfortunately. So.
All right. Well, guys, we're going to wrap it up here. Yep. I got a lot to do. And we'll see you in the next podcast.
Yeah, thanks for watching. And remember, alltfl.com and, of course, TFL Bids if you want the new, the new to you, Golf R. See you guys next time. Ciao.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.